Does life ever get tough for you? Pastor Ray Bentley says it's possible that's God's way of getting your attention.
Our God, behold, is a jealous God. And because God loves you, God is working, kind of like manipulating your circumstances in such a way never to allow you to be comfortable if you seek anything else more than you seek Him. Because He loves you too much.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. The Old Testament records so many times when God's people strayed from their Heavenly Father. But God had ways of bringing them back to Him, sometimes subtly, sometimes boldly. Today, Pastor Ray shows us how God may use that same approach in our lives. Let's see how to learn that lesson quickly.
Let's go to the book of Daniel, chapter 10. By the way, I believe that of all that we have even studied before, and all the experiences that Daniel has had, of all the visions that he had, of all the dreams and visitations even, we have now, for the first time, arrived at the greatest vision of Daniel's life. Came at the end of his life. He is well into his 90s. It's almost like his life grew and grew and grew and grew to the point that it wasn't until his 90s that he was even ready to have this vision. And whether we're looking at the life of Daniel, whether we're looking at the life of Moses, whether we're looking at the life of Abraham, their greatest days weren't until their 80s or 90s. And so, in other words, I want to encourage you that we are always constantly to be growing, and that our best days lie ahead. All right, Daniel chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Daniel says, in the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name is called Belshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. This, in Daniel 10, is the final vision of the book of Daniel. What I want you to understand is where Daniel is at. Okay, you know that when Daniel was young, when he was a teenager, Israel was taken into captivity. From Israel, he has spent 70 years in ancient Persia or ancient Babylon, which is the modern-day areas of Iraq and or Iran, especially Iraq. So there he was. He spent the majority of his life there, and we saw how God raised up this Jew in ancient Babylon to a place of political honor and a place where he was trusted as a wise man, as a man who knew the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who could reveal dreams, who could interpret the dreams, who could see through those dreams the future, for his God told him what was to come to pass. And God had used him in many wonderful ways. Now, Daniel knew his scriptures were the book of Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah, God had told Daniel that you will be in Babylon 70 years. After 70 years, I will return my people back to their land. When the Babylonians came, when Daniel was still a young man and a teenager, and he was at home and he was in Israel and he was able to go to the temple and worship in Jerusalem, they destroyed the temple. They destroyed the city of Jerusalem. They burned it with fire. And so now they've gone to the banks of the river Euphrates in Babylon all these years. Now God, after 70 years, has said, you can go home. And Daniel was living in Babylon, though he is in his 90s now, he's able to say to the next generation, God has been faithful to his promise. He promised, for the most part, your parents, that after 70 years, he would take off the chains of our captivity. He would set us free. You no longer are slaves in Babylon. You can go home. You not only can go home, you can inherit the land that was given to your family, which is part of whatever tribe you come from, of the 12 tribes of Israel. You are now free to go home to the land of Israel that God promised to your forefathers and rebuild the city of Jerusalem. We have been given the authority. We have been given money. God had raised up Cyrus to help them. In fact, he had named Cyrus through the prophet Isaiah, that God would raise up a man who would be his anointed, appointed servant, who would say, you know what? We don't need to keep the Jews here in captivity. Go home. And in fact, rebuild your temple. In fact, go back and worship Jehovah or Yahweh. In fact, I'll give you money and I'll help build the temple there in Jerusalem. So how exciting it must have been for Daniel, now an old man who has been faithful to the Lord and a mighty man and a man of prayer, to speak to that generation now to go home. And what we're going to find in this story is that while Israel returned physically, she had not returned spiritually in her heart. There were those who went back to the land, but they weren't interested at first in rebuilding the city. They weren't interested in rebuilding the temple. They weren't interested in starting to read the Word of God. They weren't interested in starting to worship the Lord there. They just went back to the land and started building their own homes. That's all they were interested in. That's all they cared about. Because for some reason, though they had been cured of, let's say, idolatry, which got them in trouble in the first place, they had not been cured to fall in love with the God who loved them. They were not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is a scripture you ought to commit to memory. Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, I want to encourage you. That's what God wants from you. A lot of people are wondering, what does God want from me? Here's what he wants. He wants you, every one of you, not just some of you, not just a few of you, not just the select, chosen few, but God wants every single son, every single daughter, to seek him and to seek his kingdom and to seek his righteousness above everything else in your life. Now, if you are his child, that's his will for your life. And because God loves you, God is working through circumstances, kind of like manipulating that just as with your hands and fingers, you can manipulate clay. God is working and manipulating your circumstances in such a way never to allow you to be comfortable if you seek anything else more than you seek him, because he loves you too much. Our God, behold, is a jealous God. Do you know that God is jealous over you? He doesn't want, and I'll tell you what, we're the ones that are made in his image. So what I am about to say is not only true, it's more true than you and I even experience in little. What we experience in little, he does in big. Have you ever been jealous? Jealous of someone that won't give you the time of day? Jealous of someone that just won't pay attention to you? They don't see you. They don't hear you. It's like you're just a piece of furniture in the room, and you're jealous. And you might, you get agitated. The temperature might rise a little bit. You might even get angry. Say, hey, do I even exist? Do you see me? Do I matter to you? Do you care about me? Out of hurt, and maybe doing something to say, now I have your attention. May I say to you, magnify that millions of times with your God and your Creator. And while you're going around saying, wow, that was weird. Wonder why that happened. Huh? And God's saying, hello, it's me. I love you. You put all your time and energy into that more than me. I love you. I want to spoil you. I want to bless you. I want to give you the desires of your heart. But not if you love that. Don't love the gifts. Love the giver of the gifts. And the gifts will never end. So God is a jealous God. You need to know that about your Father in heaven. He is a jealous God. Because he loves you, he will allow you to be miserable if you have anything else more important to you than him. His goal is to make you know that you are first in priority to him. And likewise, just as any good lover, he wants to be first in your life as well. That was not happening in Israel. So here comes this big day, and they're not really seeking the Lord. All they're interested in is building their own houses. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 10 is also in your notes. Let's read that scripture out loud together. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land with you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. So now the Lord is saying, this is back in the law in Deuteronomy, he says, look, bring your first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. I'm giving this to you, and then we will set it before the Lord and we will worship him. You know what worship means? Love him. Tell him how you feel about him. God loves that. He wants that. He desires that. It is possible to religiously be in a contractual, outward, symbolic relationship, but it's not even a relationship. And God is saying, I want the reality. I want what is genuine. I want you to do it as you honor me and love me and worship me, and I'm telling you how I feel about you. God reached out in many ways. Now look with me in verses 2 and 3. So here comes this vision to Daniel. Again, he is in his 90s. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks, it says in verse 2. Now imagine being in your 90s. I mean, he's at the end of his life. And yet Daniel is mourning for 3 full weeks. He says, look at this in verse 3. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth. Nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Daniel has been a man of prayer and a man of seeking the Lord, and he's actually retired now. He is no longer in public service. He used to serve before the kings. Now he's out. He's done. He doesn't do that anymore. Well, what does Daniel do, this old man? Daniel does what every godly man and woman does more and more and more in their lives. He sought the Lord. He prayed more and more and more. A sign that you are growing in God is that you want to pray more. You want to just be in the presence of the Lord. You want your mind and heart and thoughts lifted toward him and setting your affection on things above, because you know that as immediately as you do, God fills the vacuum. He fills that void. He fills that longing with himself and with his spirit. And in fact, many of the older men and women in the Bible, God used as intercessors, intercessory prayer warriors. And it's almost like they become living currents through which the electricity and the life and the power of the Holy Spirit flows to touch a nation. That's what Daniel was doing. And so he is probably, as an old man, he's praying, and he doesn't have to work anymore. And as he prays, what do you think he's praying for? Well, he is too old to make the long journey to go back to the land of Israel. And he still believes that God has, I believe, a call upon his life to be in Babylon. And he's encouraging the whole nation of Jews that has been taken in captivity, go home. You're free. Leave. You are not Babylonians. You are Jews. God is not finished with you. Go back. Rebuild your cities. Inherit your land. Farm it. Grow it. Till it. Sit under your own vine and under your own fig tree. Rebuild the beautiful city of Jerusalem. Rebuild the walls of the temple. Worship the living God and be the example and the light of the world that your parents had neglected. And guess what? As Daniel gave these words, as he gave these exhortations, as he gave this passionate pursuit and intercessory prayer, the vast majority of Jews, I'm talking the vast majority of them, guess what they did? upon hearing that? They stayed where they were. They became comfortable in Babylon. They had built homes in Babylon. You know, we grow our food and we don't want to start over again. Even the young people, they stayed. And I think that as Daniel heard, hey, God's now, your 70 years are through, the discipline is passed, you can go home, you can rebuild a nation. I give it to you. And in fact, they have the authority from the king, Cyrus, and money from him to go and rebuild it. They're not interested. And apparently what happened to Daniel, the man of God, is he got depressed. And he got so depressed, he didn't want to eat. Now, it doesn't mean he didn't totally. He ate just minimally because he was old to just stay alive. But that's what Daniel was like. There were only some 42,000 out of the, who knows, untold hundreds of thousands that went back to Israel. Only 42,000 to build an entire nation. The majority of the people, including the priests, the religious guys who had been teaching still in Babylon about Judaism, about the temple, and about how to sacrifice, how to worship God, the majority of the priests stayed in Babylon. They didn't even go back. And they stayed with their homes and the gardens they'd built in Babylon, even though their nation lay in desolation. So depressed by this fact that his own people were not interested in restoring Jerusalem, in rebuilding the temple, and the few who did return, there was only 40-some thousand of them, there were these other people who had moved in while they were gone called the Samaritans, and Ezra chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, talks about how these local Samaritans, when a handful of Jews came back and started rebuilding, did everything they could to discourage them from building. Is it any wonder then that the prophet Daniel fasted and mourned and prayed? He was upset. And then something happened. And I say this to you because, listen very, very carefully, there will come seasons in your life. Some of you may be in that season right now. Some of you have been in this season before. There will be times and seasons where you are totally wiped out, emotionally spent, physically depleted, spiritually empty and depressed. And at those times, start listening to the Lord. God is using all those signs, physically, emotionally, spiritually. He now has your attention. He is wanting to say something to you. He's wanting to reveal himself to you. Start seeking the Lord. So look what happened in verse 4. It says, now on the 24th day of the first month. So it's been 3 weeks that he's been just barely eating and he's praying and he's just depressed and he's saying, God, nobody is taking you at your word. Nobody wants to go home. As I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. In other words, he sees a heavenly man. Let's just for right now call him the heavenly man. And when he sees him, he's not an earthly man. He knows this is a divine man. And he sees this, you know, imagine a belt that is not only pure gold, but it is like on fire, like gold that is being melted in fire. I don't know if you've ever seen that. I had the privilege, my only occupation before being a pastor, I was a jeweler's apprentice. And I remember we used to pour the little, in the little cast iron deal there, the golden nuggets, and then it was heated up in the flame. And the closest thing to glory is gold that is so hot that it is molten. It just is so absolutely beautiful. You can't imagine the color of gold that is so hot that it's liquid. And so imagine this belt that looks like it is that color and fluidity of fire that is around this heavenly man's waist. Now, he goes on. He says, I saw this heavenly man, or this certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl. His face was like the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like torches of fire. His arms and his feet like burnished bronze. That means like it's just been bronze that has been polished so that any light at all that reflects off it, it hurts your eyes. And the sound of his words were like the voice of a multitude. Wow. Now, I want you to notice the words that are used in verses 4 through 6 of what Daniel sees. Hear the words. Listen. Man, waist, body, face, eyes, feet, arms, voice. Who is this man? The Bible never calls an angel a man. And here it's talking about this man. I believe it's none other than the Lord of glory. If the Lord appeared to Abraham, and I believe Jesus did appear to Abraham, I believe that Abraham saw Jesus. In fact, Jesus said, you know, Abraham saw me. And before Abraham was, I am. I believe that Moses saw the Lord. Then why not Daniel? Again, this is at the end of his life. And if you compare this list of verses 4 through 6, if you're writing notes, write down Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, when John the Apostle saw Jesus as he describes him. Compare. They fit. They just fit together. I believe that Jesus was seen and revealed himself to John the Apostle, and I believe that here, even before his virgin birth, Jesus revealed himself to the prophet Daniel. Now, there are some who will argue that this is merely an angel or some kind of an angel that revealed himself, but throughout the Bible, it is the presence of God alone that produces this kind of shattering and humbling experience. It is God alone that gives this kind of strength and comfort. Only those who are in the presence of God have this kind of experience. So the climax of all Daniel's dreams, all of his visions, all of his life, all of his years of prayer came at the end of his life, not unlike the end of the book of Job, where Job finally saw God and his glory. Now Daniel sees the Lord. And what he sees, I believe, is Jesus.
Pastor Ray Bentley, leading our study of the prophecies found in the book of Daniel here on Maranatha Radio. Glad you've joined us. And today's presentation by Pastor Ray is available on CD. You can contact us and mention The Cost of Understanding. It's available for just $7. And again, the title, The Cost of Understanding. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Daniel on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. You may know that Pastor Ray has partnered with God's people in Israel, including Judea and Samaria, the area known as the West Bank. There, he witnesses the fulfillment of prophecy firsthand. Well, he's written a new book that draws on his experience with the Jewish people and his experience being a student of the Scriptures for the past four decades. It's called The Holy Land Key. It's your introduction to prophetic signs that God reveals in sometimes unexpected ways.
The Jewish feasts of the Lord, they're listed in Leviticus 23. There are seven of them. All seven point to the Messiah. They all point and are fulfilled in Jesus. And the first four of them point to the first coming of Christ. And the last three point to the second coming of Christ.
You may have rushed right past the biblical account of these feasts in the past. Well, Pastor Ray shows you they have a lot to do with your future. In the Holy Land Key, he brings an insider's perspective to what God is doing in the lives of God's chosen people today, and what we can learn from ancient Hebrew writings about events yet to come. Again, it's called The Holy Land Key. The subtitle is Unlocking End Times Prophecy Through the Lives of God's People in Israel. It's available now in our online store at maranatharadio.com. And if God has made an impact on your life through Pastor Ray's teaching, would you let him know? Drop a note in the mail or connect on Twitter. He's at Ray Bentley. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Daniel. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.